Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father in heaven. Amen. You may be seated. Each and every one of us, I think, has a favorite scripture verse. Or if you're like me, my wife will taunt me. Have a few favorite scripture verses, or a few hundred favorite scripture verses. What are some of our favorites that we have across Christendom? You know, I was thinking about that. Obviously, a few of those that are in our text today, you know, John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world. Okay, that's one. One of the others, you know, we hear a lot at funeral services. Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What are some other favorite Bible verses, favorite scripture verses? What are some of yours? Yes, I'm actually asking.
Romans 8:38-39.
So give us a little tidbit. Oh, yeah, nothing can separate us from the, yeah. Oh, yeah, through God all things are possible. Yeah, okay.
I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord.
Oh, I know the plans I have for you. Yes, yes. Any others? Okay.
All scripture is God's breathing and useful for teaching.
Yeah. All scripture is God-breathed, and, you know, what it's good for. It's good for these things in the world. It's not just something to sit there on the shelf or be a big pretty book on the coffee table. Yeah. One of my favorites, among many, is in our epistle reading for today, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Could we get our epistle text up on the screen? Yeah, I didn't ask Barbara to do this ahead of time, so I'm sorry. We're going to go ahead and we're going to start at the beginning. I'm going to concentrate in the end at verses 8, 9, and 10, but we're going to start from the beginning. We're going to look at the epistle text from Ephesians. St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And. Starts with the word and. Paul is continuing an argument here. He's already just laid out that they are the children of God. They are the people of God. And he's talking about the what does it mean to be a child of God, why you're a child of God. But just as importantly, the case that St. Paul is making in his whole letter to the church at Ephesus is, what must you do with that salvation? So he starts with and. And you were dead. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. None of us feels dead. We all feel like we're alive, right? Does everybody here feel alive? Okay, now's when I call you all liars. Who felt great this morning? Who felt wonderful? Who didn't have a single ache or pain or problem? Who jumped up out of bed and nothing hurt? Okay, maybe a few of our young ones. But I'm guessing most of us felt a little dead when we got out of bed. Whether it was the arthritis in our hand acting up like mine was today, or whatever it was. I'm guessing each and every one of us did feel a little dead in our body. And that's just a sign. That's just a symbol, something to remind us that we are dead in our trespasses, that sin has a hold of us. It's gripped us. And yes, we must eventually pay the piper. We must eventually pass through that door of death, because nothing we can do can free us from our death, can free us from our sin and its consequences. And if that's where it ended, it would be sorry indeed. But that's not where it ends. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, were captive to them, in which you once walked, following the course of this world. In other words, that's the way that normal people do, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and who by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Okay, this prince he's talking about here. Is St. Paul talking about the Prince of Peace? Is he talking about Jesus Christ? No, he's not. He's talking about Satan. He's talking about the false prince, the prince of this world, of this time, the one who has limited power in the here and the now. And we have to recognize that power so that it can be counteracted. We have to recognize that he is the false prince of this world and that he's doing stuff. And that a lot of folks out there are following him, whether knowingly or unknowingly. I would contend that most of them follow the prince of this world unknowingly. They follow the desires of the heart, the desires of the body, the desires, as Scripture puts it, of the gut. We go for what we want. After all, what's the motto of the world? You've got to look out for number one. And yeah, we all know number one's the person sitting next to us, right? No. Who's number one? Me. I'm number one. Everybody says that. Yeah, I'm number one. I got to look out for number one, because if I don't look out for me, nobody's going to look out for me. That's the motto of the prince of this world. That's the motto of Satan. And when we follow that, there's nothing but fighting and weeping and gnashing of teeth in the here and now, not just in the place of the dead. Jesus would have us do something else. Jesus would have to say, no, let me look after you. You look after your neighbor. Instead of this, you got to look out for number one. Say, no, you got to look out for your neighbor. Have no thought or care or concern for yourself. Look out for your neighbor first. How does that go over in the world? Like a hot potato, right? But we all did subscribe to that. Verse 4, St. Paul continues. He says, but. It's the interjective, but. Stop here. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You didn't do it on your own. It was a grace. Grace is a free gift to those who do not deserve it. After all, when we get something we deserved, if we put in our 40 hours and at the end of the week the boss says, here you go, here's a present, on a check, and he signs his name at the bottom. Is it a present? Is it grace? Is it a gift? What do we call it? None of you have experienced that? Paycheck, that's right. We earned it. Do we get upset if we don't get it?
Yes.
Why? Because we've earned it. We've worked for it. Can any of us earn or work for salvation? Can we do anything worthy of our own salvation? No, we can't, because everything we do, when we go about working in our lives trying to earn salvation, who are we serving in the long run? Who are we putting number one? Ourselves. So God says, I'm going to give it to you free of charge. By grace you have been saved. He provides Jesus Christ for you to save you from yourself. Verse 6. And Jesus raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God is doing this in us. It's a little bit right now, but it's primarily at the resurrection. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. There's a purpose phrase here. It's the first of a couple of purpose phrases. So that. So often we mistakenly skip over the purpose phrases. We focus instead on the stuff that we want to focus on. We get so lost in that for grace, for you are saved by grace. Right? We like that one. We like the one in two more verses in verse 8, for by grace. But we skip over the purpose phrase, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This verse, so that, will translate it. So that you might get the good stuff. So that you might get grace. So that you might get saved. So that you might get rescued from yourself. So that you don't have to look out for number one anymore. That's some wonderful so that stuff, right? Why do we skip over that? We need that in a world that, well, when we get up in the morning, we hurt, we ache. And then when we go out into the world, whether we go out into our jobs or we go out and we deal with family or we go out and we deal with stuff with the church and nothing works quite right. Or like me, we go out and we fight 290. We need the so that in our lives. We need those grace statements. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. We'll stop there for just a moment. You don't need to know, go to the next screen. This is how it happens. This is the how statement. We're not to the so that again yet. It's the how. It's the how, it's the why, the what. For. In other words, you are in a position as the children of God, as those who have been brought to the font in the water and words of baptism through the miracle of grace, by no work of your own, have been rescued from sin, death, and the power of the devil. That's awesome stuff. It's great the way Luther phrased that. Yeah, I didn't come up with that phrase. You all guys knew that. You memorized it when you were 13, 14 years old, right? We've been rescued from the power of sin, death. We've been rescued from sin, death, and the power of the devil. It's good stuff. For by grace you have been saved. How? As Pastor Perez pointed out in his children's message, we have been saved by grace through faith. So yeah, okay, it's our faith, it's my faith, my faith's strong, my faith does it. Oh wait, no, that's getting it wrong again, because then it just makes it my work, something that I'm doing to serve who? Number one. Let's move that screen. And this is not your own doing. St. Paul clarifies. I don't know about you, but St. Paul's talking to me. He wrote this 2,000 years ago, but he was talking to me. Because I want to get credit. I like to get credit for all the good stuff I do. I want to get credit even for being pious and even loving God and even sitting down with my portals of prayer in the morning and getting my focus for the day. By the way, good portals of prayer this week, the whole light darkness theme. If you didn't do them this week, go back and look at them. They're great. But the problem is I'm not the author of any of that. Those were the gift part. It's been given to me. This is not your own doing, because if it was just my own doing, I would be serving who again? Satan. Be serving number one. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. Verses 8 and 9. For the good Lutheran, and you guys who sit in my Bible class know that when I smile like that, I'm leading up to a trick phrase, a trick question, right? The good Lutheran. For the good Lutheran, verses Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, there are battle cry. There are a theme verse, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We know this, right? We've been drilled in it. We get it backwards and forwards. We know that we need rescue from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Okay. And we know that it's God doing it, that I can't do it on my own, because if I was doing it on my own, I would mess it up. I would probably just try and serve myself, and I couldn't do it. I'm inadequate of saving myself. So that we need to be pointed out that it's not through my own good works that I'm saved, but instead through Christ's good work. We all know this as good Lutherans, right? And so we tout it over and over again. For by grace we have been saved, not through works, lest no one boast. And then we all smile, we nod, we go have coffee and donuts, and we go home and we mow the yard and we watch football and we get on to our week, right? Woe is me. What are we missing here? We're missing verse 10. We're missing the purpose clause. That for, that so that. By the way, in the Greek, the so that earlier, and this verse 10, it's the same word. It's the purpose. All this stuff happened so that. In order that. For we are his workmanship. We're God's workmanship. I'm not comfortable with that. How about you? When I think about the workmanship of God, when I think about the hand of God out in the universe, and when God spoke into the darkness and created the light, when he spoke out and he created all these wonderful things, and he proclaimed, this is what? Good. I'm uncomfortable with putting myself in that category because I own a mirror. I know that I'm not good. I know I'm broken. I know I have problems. I know I have flaws. I know I mess up every day, both in taking care of myself and in taking care of my neighbor. But he says, you're his workmanship. God made you. God made you. Special and on purpose. And it's part of the so that. You're not a mistake. You're not a chance. You're not some Darwinian chain. You are intentional. You are planned since before the foundations of the world were laid for a purpose. Each and every one of you. So when we ever get up in the morning and we say, dear God, why am I going through what I'm going through? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Have no fear. He has one. And you are created to fulfill it, whether you know what it is or not. And I'll be honest, sometimes we just don't know what it is. But God's going to make sure we're at it nonetheless. For we are his workmanship. Created in whom? In Christ Jesus. Not just in our birth, but in the water and the words of baptism. We are created in Christ Jesus. Here we've got another purpose clause, another double purpose clause. We're created, we're saved, so that, you know, the whole workmanship thing. Why? So that we should do these works. For good works. Oh, wait, Pastor. I'm a Lutheran. I don't believe in good works. How many times when you were growing up were you taught that we as Lutherans, we don't believe in good works? We get so caught up in the verses 8 and 9 that you're not saved through good works. That we forget that you're created for the specific purpose of doing good works. Let's clarify here. Let's clear this up once and for all. The good works that St. Paul is saying you are incapable of doing is the good work of saving yourself. That's a good work. It is a good work that only Jesus is capable of doing. The good work that I need so desperately to save me from myself, to save me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, is the good work that only Jesus does. Once that good work has been accomplished in me, I can get about the purpose that God created me for, and that is doing good works that serve not myself, but instead my neighbor. I can do good works. You can do good works. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through faith, you can do good works. It's called sanctification. As good Lutherans, we all know about justification, right? See verses 8 and 9. For you have been saved by grace through faith. We've been justified before God, declared righteous. But sanctification is that continued work. It's a work. That continued good work in us through the Holy Spirit, so that we might grow in holiness. Sanctification. I am capable of good works. Are all the good Lutherans in the room comfortable with that phrase?
Yes.
We should be. I want y'all to say it with me. I am capable of good works. Now I want you to say it like you mean it. I am capable of good works. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And the thing is, am I capable of good works because of anything I came to the table with? Am I capable of doing good works because I'm so great and wonderful and I've got strong arms and a strong mind and a good body and great ideas? No, not at all. I am capable of doing good works because of the stuff that Christ has done in me. And it's only through Him. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this last phrase before we close. These good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. First of all, God prepared them beforehand. What do I have to do in life, Pastor? I have a hard time figuring out my purpose. I have a hard time figuring out why I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Should I take this job or that job? Or what am I supposed to be doing here, Pastor? I feel I've outlived my usefulness. My kids are gone. My grandchildren are gone. I can't see so well. I can't hear so well. I can't even get out of the house on my own. Why am I here, Pastor? I don't feel like I have a purpose. Rest assured, you do. God Himself has said He has prepared these good works for you to do in each and every day of your life, whether you see them or not. Years ago, do you remember that book that came out, Purpose-Driven Life? There was a whole series of them. They had devotions, they had series. Anybody familiar with that? The purpose-driven everything, you know, yeah. The big problem with that, and there was some good stuff in it, but the big problem with it was that it led us to believe that I had to go out and find my purpose. I had to go out and claim it. Well, that puts the burden on me again. The great thing here, St. Paul wants us to clarify that God's finding your purpose. God's laying out your purpose. God's taking care of it. You don't need to find it or be aware of it at all. All you've got to do is go out and be you. Serve God by serving your neighbors, and God will work that purpose out. So when you're not sure what you're supposed to do, say, what can I do to serve my neighbor? Maybe it's by loving them. Maybe it's by listening to them. Maybe it's by praying for them. Maybe it's by just giving them a kind word. Maybe it's by paying a bill or two. I don't know. It's going to be different from each and every one of you. But you have good works that God has prepared beforehand. Your purpose is secure. Your purpose is just as secure as your salvation. I want you to say that one with me. My purpose is just as secure as my salvation. Wow. Okay, I heard you. I witnessed. All of you said, I'm capable of doing good works. And all of you have said, my purpose is just as secure. So none of you can say, why am I here? I heard you say otherwise. You know it. It's been attested to by God and just attested to and witnessed by each other. This last phrase, that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. We can misread this to mean that God needs me to go out and do this good stuff because otherwise it won't get done. If I don't do it, it's not going to get done. If I make the wrong decision, things are going to go wrong. If I don't serve my neighbor is going to go without, and God's will is not going to be done. If I make the wrong call, heaven and earth are going to crumble, his church is going to end, and there's going to be hell to pay if I make the wrong decision. In a word, wrong. No. That we should walk in them has nothing to do with God needing you to do his stuff. God knows that to be fulfilled the way that God created you to be, you actually need these works. So the most fulfilling thing you can do is serve your neighbor. The thing that's going to fill you up, the thing that's going to complete you, is to set yourself aside and serve your neighbor. God created all these wonderful opportunities out there that you're capable of doing so that you get the privilege of walking in them. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but let's pretend. The last time you agreed to run for an office in the church, the last time you agreed to serve on a committee, the last time you said yes to the president or to the pastor or to a chairperson or to another volunteer, yes, I'll help out with, you know, this, that, and the other. Did we do it with a joyful heart, thinking, I get to serve my neighbors, and this is the way I'm fulfilled, and oh boy, here's an opportunity? Or did we think, okay, I'll do it, because if I don't do it, it won't get done. If I won't do it, nobody else will. Wrong attitude. God created all these wonderful opportunities to serve so that you would be able to walk in them and you would be strengthened, you would be built up, and God would be glorified. favorite verses. Yes, I love John 3:16, and I love Psalm 23. You know, I love Romans 8:28. I bring it up. I preach on it all the time. John 20, 21. There's John 20, 31. You know, the list goes on and on. And even Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, they're up there. But I'll be honest, when we think about favorite verses, Ephesians 2, 10. And I want us to read this together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's in your bulletin. It's printed out in the As We Gather. When you leave here today, every day this week, I want you to break out your bulletin or break out your Bibles, and I want you to read verse 10 again. Every day, as part of your morning devotion, as part of your morning prayer. And think about that so that what God has done for you, so that you may serve your neighbor, serve your God, and in the end, be served yourself. Amen.